Okay, we will start with Babar on page 213. But if you remember, last time we find out that Isabel, the daughter of the king of the monkeys, has vanished. And Zephyr is going to find her because nobody else can. He talks to the mermaid, Eleanor, who tells him that she might, that she can help by talking to her, I think it was her aunt, Crustadel or something like that. And Crustadel tells them that the Go-Goats have taken Isabel and that they must hurry if they're going to save her because the chief Go-Goat turns people into rocks if they bore him. So she gives Zephyr a sack, and Eleanor takes him to the island of the Go-Goats, where he puts on his sack so that he looks just like the rocks that are all over the island. Now, we presume the rocks are creatures that have been turned to rock by the leader of the Go-Goats, who I think is Polamok. And so Zephyr does some tricks for them, and then he plays his violin, and he puts them all to sleep. And while they're asleep, Isabel and Zephyr escape to the beach, where Eleanor takes them back to Monkeyville. And the king of the monkeys, General Hook, is so happy that he promises that Zephyr can marry Isabel when he's old enough. Then we find out that Babar's new family. Well, his wife Cornelius is going to have a baby, and he tells Cornelius that they should fire a cannon shot when the baby is born. And while Babar is out trying to de-stress because he's so anxious about the new babies, three cannon shots go off, and now he's trying to figure out what could that mean. And when he comes back, he finds out that Celeste has had three little elephants. And I'm not sure what they named them, like Palm and Emile. Oh, here they are. The names are Palm, Flora, and Alexander. And we find out that Flora, who's a very good little monkey, likes to play with a rattle, but she chokes on her rattle, and Zephyr saves her. And so now the children are playing in their nursery, and they're bouncing up and down on the trunk, and Cornelius hangs ropes of a swing from the end of each tusk. Arthur gently rocks Alexander back and forth. The boys have learned to walk before their sister. Flora will soon follow their example. She can stand up alone already. Oh, looks like the little girl's behind. When the children are dressed, the nurse takes them out for a ride in the big carriage. They are still too young to walk very far. One day, nurse says to Arthur, "This is colder than I thought, and we are not far from the house. It won't take me long to run back and get some sweaters for the babies, so they don't catch a cold. Will you look after them for me until I come back?" Arthur is very glad to be trusted and proudly pushes the carriage. This doesn't sound good. He pushes it 20 feet forward, then 20 feet back, and takes good care to avoid the stones. All of a sudden, he hears the soldiers parading. As he turns around to watch, he lets go of the pram. The path is slightly downgrade at this point, and the carriage rolls off by itself. Palm, Flora, and Alexander think this is very funny, and they laugh, but Arthur is frightened and runs after them. The grade gets steeper and steeper. The carriage rolls faster and faster. Now the children are scared too. Arthur runs after the pram as fast as he can. Nurse comes back with the sweaters. Very much worried, she joins the chase. It looks as though the babies are a grave danger. But a bit further on, there is a bend in the road with a deep ravine on one side. The carriage must be stopped before the bend, or it will go straight down into the ravine. And then the accident. Martha the turtle, out for a stroll, has seen it all coming and understands the situation thoroughly. Uh-oh, Martha to the rescue. She hurries along on her short legs. Just as the carriage is about to topple over the precipice, she succeeds in throwing herself under the wheels. Suddenly checked while going full tilt, the carriage stops and almost turns over. Palm and Flora are jolted back against the hood, which saves them, but poor Alexander is thrown head first. Nurse screams, and the rabbit runs away. Rabbit. Mr. and Mrs. Squirrel have heard the nurse's scream. Then a minute later, they hear the rustle of the leaves and the noise of breaking branches to the left of them above. They look up and see the head of a baby elephant. He is yelling for his mother in a frightened lisp. Mama, Alexander is falling. Mama, help Alexander. Steady, little elephant. Don't let go. We're coming, cry the squirrels. Just balance yourself and try to get your foot up on that big branch. We are right here. Don't be afraid. We'll help you. Their scheme succeeds. Mr. Squirrel gives further orders. Hold fast to my tail and wiggle your big ears to keep your balance. Watch your step. Follow me. You can rest when you have reached our shelter. A few minutes later, safe and sound in the squirrel's hole, Alexander breathes a sigh of relief. How lucky he was to have fallen in the trees and to have found these obliging friends. He might have been badly hurt. Now he'd like to go and tell his mama not to worry. But how can he get down that big tree trunk? It is absolutely smooth and very high. Just then, a big giraffe strolls by and sees his plight. He says, "Look here, little elephant. I'll put my head right close to the branch. Then you can sit down between my ears and hold on to my horns. I know your parents, and I'll take you back to them." Alexander is quite delighted, says goodbye to the squirrel, and thanks them. He settles himself on the giraffe's head, and off they go. Although the giraffe walks slowly, Alexander decides he prefers his perambulator. Informed by the nurse, Babar and Celeste are already on their way to the scene of the accident. What joy to be reunited. Arthur is ever so pleased. A few months later, Babar decides it would be fun to go on a picnic. The weather is fine and the family is in high spirits. Cornelius feels the heat, but joins them enthusiastically. Later, tired and hungry, they all sit down to a delicious lunch. After the meal, Celeste tidies things up. Babar goes off to fish in a nearby stream. Cornelius lies down in the shade to have a nap. Alexander mischievously wriggles under Cornelius's derby hat and walks about with short steps. "That's a funny-looking tortoise," says Palm. While playing, they come to the edge of a river. Alexander has another bright idea. He puts the hat in the water. "Nice boat," he says as he steps in to try. It floats. "Isn't it marvelous?" Just then, the current catches the hat and it drifts away from the bank. Alexander is enchanted with his boat ride, but Palm and Flora are a bit worried. How can they get the hat back to shore? Flora begins to cry. She runs off to call her mama, who is just beginning to wonder where the children could be. Palm runs along the bank calling, "Alexander, come back, please, nice little ducks. Oh, please, bring my brother back." But the ducks fly away. Suddenly, Palm gives a lusty yell. "A crocodile! A crocodile!" Alexander looks around. "Oh, Papa," he whimpers. Babar was peacefully fishing and thought the children were playing. As he hears the desperate cry for help, he understands that something serious must have happened. He stands up and trumpets loudly. He stands up and trumpets angrily as he sees the horrible crocodile. 3 seconds in which to act and no gun. The situation seems hopeless. Babar, without hesitating a moment, grabs the anchor and hurls it violently into the jaws of the monster. Caught like a fish, the crocodile, in a wild fit of rage, flips his tail right out of the water. Tossed about by the swirling eddy, the hat capsizes, and Alexander is thrown into the river. Babar dives in after and searches about with his trunk. Ah, he feels something. Hurrah! It's Alexander's ear. He makes quick work of bringing him up out of the water and reviving him. As for the crocodile, he lashes about madly, but he cannot rid himself of either the anchor or the boat. The birds gather around Babar and Alexander, who are, of course, dripping wet. "Would you be kind enough," asked Babar, "to go and reassure Queen Celeste? Ask her to hurry back to the house and lay out some dry clothes and prepare hot drinks for us. And you, dear little duckling," he adds, "would you be kind enough to dive down and bring back my crown and Cornelius's hat? They are down at the bottom of the river." Alexander kisses his mommy happily. She bathes him, gives him a good rub down, and puts him to bed under heavy blankets. Zephyr, Arthur, Palm, Flora are still very excited. The big flamingo brings back the crown with the hat. "Oh, thank you very much," says Babar. "The hat is slightly damp and out of shape. Cornelius, however, will be happy to have it back because it's an old keepsake." Now everybody is asleep. Babar and Celeste will go to bed soon as well. They are gradually calming down after the exciting events. "Truly, it is not easy to bring up a family," sighs Babar. "But how nice the babies are. I wouldn't know how to get along without them anymore." One day, Zephyr calls to his friends Arthur, Palm, Flora, and Alexander. "Listen, listen to the wonderful tale which I have just heard. It seems that in man's country, every year on the night before Christmas, a very kind old gentleman with a large white beard, wearing a red suit with a pointed hood, flies all over the countryside. He carries with him great quantities of toys and gives them to the little children. They call him Father Christmas. It is difficult to catch a glimpse of him, for he comes down the chimney while one sleeps. Next morning, the children know he has been there because they find toys in their shoes. Why wouldn't we write to him? Or why shouldn't we write to him and ask him to come here too and see us in Elephant Country?" "Three cheers! What a fine idea," says Alexander. "But what shall we say in the letter?" asked Arthur. "We must write and tell Father Christmas what we would like him to bring to us," suggests Palm. "Let's consider very carefully before we write," adds Flora. They remain quiet for a moment and think it over. Zephyr decides a bicycle would be what he wants. Flora would love to have a doll. Alexander wants a butterfly net, Palm a big bag of candies, and a little teddy bear. As for Arthur, his dream is to have a train. Then, each having decided what to wish for, Zephyr is chosen to write the letter. For he has the best handwriting, and he applies himself to the task. Arthur remembers that a stamp must be put on the envelope. Then they each sign the letter with their names and go off together in glee to mail the letter. Every morning, the five friends eagerly await the postman. They rush out to meet him as soon as they see him coming. But alas, although the postman searches carefully, there is no answer from Father Christmas. Let's continue later. Okay, good night. We will start our story up again on page 241.